29 minutes past 8 o'clock on a Wednesday. Gavin Steinhobel generally takes to the air and always has something intelligent to add to whatever it is that is in common parlance in the zeitgeist of life on the North Coast. And at the moment, Gavin, I think it's fair to say, you being a property expert in legal matters as well, there is a lot of concern around the illegal occupation of land and the construction of homes on illegally acquired land. When I say illegally, irregularly acquired land. And
I think illegal is the right turn of phrase. I mean,
well, one has to be very circumspect to avoid becoming a statistic in the legal parlance of things, allegedly and apparently.
I know of a couple of the matters where, you know, there's a title deed holder. There's no argument.
Okay.
There's no argument that it's not illegal. It is illegal to
invade. Let's dial back a little bit. Mm. So what you're saying is, what is happening is criminally actionable by the authorities.
Yeah, straight trespass, common law trespass.
And yet, why is there such reluctance and resistance towards redress? We're talking in particular about penny.
Well, it's racially driven, obviously, and I think it stems from a broader narrative. You know, the narratives about you know, the past and so on have become quite sort of if you have to say, they've become very sort of topical again. And, you know, this is 30 years after the fact. And the idea that certain people have stolen land from other people pervades. And, you know, I have gone through this before on air, but, you know, we did in 1994 have the Restitution of Land Act. And a lot of 50-odd thousand farms were acquired by the state and redistributed to people who were previously pushed off that land. And that was how we would arrive at a just system without civil chaos, where we have a free-for-all and everybody just does whatever they like, and that'll be the end of our country. And the reason we had to establish that is because if we're going to be an economy that functions on this globe, you have to at least have property rights. If you don't, and we've got a very good example on our northern border, if you undermine property rights in any way, and that's what they did in Zimbabwe, is they permitted the veterans to invade the farms, and the police, when you phoned them, didn't come out.
But the same thing seems to be happening here.
And the courts, when you went to them for eviction orders and that, just seemed to ignore it. And so without changing the constitution or the laws, you achieved what you achieved basically an invasion of land and an occupation of land, and a landowner completely losing his rights to his land, not through the legal system, but just through sheer thuggery. Now, we have in this country, unfortunately, because of the declining sort of fortunes of the ANC, they've pandered to this sort of land argument again, even though it was addressed in 94. And they have Cyril Ramaphosa bizarrely signed into law the new Expropriation Act at the beginning of this year, which shocked everybody. And it contains a clause that compensation for land can be set at nil. Now, that's created in a certain sector of our society the anticipation that, well, if compensation is going to be nil, we can just take land. There's that. There's also a broader underlying issue. You know, one third of this province is in a trust, the Ingonyama Trust, and it's a trust for the Zulu Nation, and so all the land in that trust is owned, or all the land is owned by that trust. One third of this province, one out of every 3 hectares, and the people that live there can't own that land. They're serfs on that land, so they have what's called a permission to occupy from the local headman or whatever, and they pay a rental, but they can't own land, which is crippling for any society, because you need to be able to own your land.
We've kind of covered that ground before, yes. But I'd like to just double back to what is happening in our sort of Guadaluguza Ilembe region, because
there's one case in particular. I'm aware of the case, and I know the people who own the land, And I don't want to jeopardize anything, because I think quite a bit of this is probably still sub judice, or at least there's some high-level talk going on and trying to resolve it. But they're very disappointed with the fact that they do have court orders. They seem to have to really beg the sheriff and or the SAP to assist the sheriff. And, you know, there was a date set and there would be evictions, and there was very little done on the day, and there's lots of hand-wringing and gnashing of teeth and looking at the distant horizon.
No, that's the point.
And so that's exactly what I... Tying back to what I said about Zimbabwe, Zimbabwe's fall came when they had good laws, but they didn't have good people to enforce them. And we're sitting here now where basically you only have rights if the state is prepared to enforce your rights. And if the state looks the other way, you're left, you know, you're left out to dry, and you could lose your rights purely. You know, there's a point at which sufficient people occupy a piece of land that it's not practical or politically expedient to go and push them all off.
Well, because that's really also where we are right now.
That also triggers in the back of people's mind those sort of, you know, Sophia Town and those sort of things where, you know, they forcibly remove people from areas and sort of, you know, we're not dealing with the same sort of people because they're not there lawfully. But
I want to put something to you, Gavin. I know we've got the situation we've inherited, and it continues to irk. But there's another side of the story, and I was chatting to someone not long ago who is largely involved in the organization, and I'm not going to put myself in a difficult situation by stating categorically that there is a political party that is driving this narrative. I believe there is, and I don't think it's the ANC, funnily enough. But anyway, that's a story for another time. But his point was, these farmers that have got so much land, much more than they could possibly use, and it's not economically even a viable land, much of it on the margins and the fringes, wouldn't it be a good idea, like they did in Victorian Britain, where you had these terribly impoverished groups of folk working in mills and in breweries, etc., in slums and terrible... And the owners of these establishments took it upon themselves to build what they called model villages, where there were very tight rules and regulations, but everyone had a decent place to live. Now, is there no suggestion
People always look at a vacant piece of land on the margins of a town and think that, well, you know, that's somebody who's just can afford to have it and doesn't bother using it, doesn't bother farming it or whatever. And that's not true at all. That's somebody who speculated that the town is going to need to grow in a certain direction. And they're bearing all the costs, the rates and the upkeep and so forth for that property as an investment. Okay. Now, you don't have the right just to go and run roughshod over their investment. Just as nobody likes people running roughshod over your front lawn.
I'm not proposing that, but wouldn't it be an intelligent way to look at this situation as a public-private partnership, to get involved with municipal structures or political, you know, structures, to say, listen, let's together take resources,
you know,
which
you know, the fact is, okay, that the state owns a lot of land and has more than sufficient land for a project like that. The state also has more than sufficient budget for a project like that. The state also has a whole policy of providing RDP housing. But what do? They steal the money and they're incompetent. And so you can't now go to the private sector and say, all of the taxes you paid were for nothing, and you've still got to bear the burden of something you've already paid to be resolved.
Now, on that note, did you hear in the news earlier the kind of money that we're talking about, and it has been expended and wasted, and it is absolutely amazing, 1.08 trillion rand between 2019-2020 financial year and 23-24 financial year. 1.08 trillion rand.
Yes.
Fruitless, wasteful, irregular, and unauthorized municipal expenditure.
I know you could build a house for every South African with that money.
I mean, that trillion. People don't understand how big a trillion is.
That's why I'm saying, that's my argument, is that, you know, you're talking about a trillion. That's 100 billion, okay? Oh. A billion is 1,000 million. So that's 100,000 million rand. Okay.
It sounds like Jacob Zuma is explaining.
Yeah, I mean, it is, but that's precisely what it is. So, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, that's That's an enormous sum of money, okay? And then to come cap in hand and say, well, why don't the landowners start giving up their land because the municipalities can't seem to keep track of their cash? You know, that's nonsense. It's we need.
So what is the solution?
The solution is, if you want to help people who are in dire positions, who are at the bottom of the rung economically, then use our tax money for what we pay it for. Don't steal it.
I love the passion in the voice.
I know, but it's so infuriating because there is enough money. All of our social woes can be addressed if we just had competent people who had a will to change this country for the positive, instead of just looking at the money and saying, how much of that can I steal?
Wow. So, you know, we talk about feeling the winds of change and a certain level of positivity beginning to blow. Do you think it is?
I mean, here absolutely, we go, absolutely. I mean, I think all these grandiose plans that the ANC's had in the last while, trying to revive some kind of image internationally and locally, they've all come to naught. I mean, I've just noticed America's not coming to the G20 summit, the Argentinian chap's not coming, the Chinese might send a minor sort of delegee, and so might the Russians, and so they've actually in our year of having this very important summit, we've completely blown it. In fact, we might have blown it to the extent where that'll be the end of the G20. So, you know, I mean, it's just, I think everybody can now see enough. You know, enough. Your policies are ruinous, and this country doesn't need that sort of nonsense. We really need to start taking the positives and all moving forward together and stop all this race pointing and race baiting, because we're all South Africans and everybody has a role to play.
Well, I think that's a good point to leave it on for today. Not terribly optimistic for the short term, but possibly with a medium term view, it is optimistic, because this cannot continue.
No.
And certainly, if you are a victim of land invasion and you have, you're concerned about having lost or possibly about to lose some of your valuable assets, you should have a chat to the experts. Gavin Steinhobel would be a good place to start, in my humble opinion. You'll find him down in the Balito village at Kloppers. And Gavin, once again, interesting, hard talk. If you want to catch up on what's happening, Penny Faree, I've kind of mentioned her name in the earlier part of our discussion, carries a very, very good podcast on our platform called Uncensored, where she unpacks these and other matters, if you want to go into more detail. But this will be up as a podcast as well on The Morning Show. And I look forward, Gavin, to reconnecting in a week's time.
See you in a week's time, Dave.
The Morning Show continues.